Welcome to the Grey Door. And now for today's story. The Memory Editor. Dr. Sarah Chen had been editing memories for 3 years when she discovered the first inconsistency. It was a Tuesday morning in 2087, and she was reviewing the neural scan of patient 47B, a war veteran seeking to remove traumatic combat experiences. The standard procedure was straightforward: locate the target memories, isolate the neural pathways, and perform a clean extraction. But something in the patient's hippocampus didn't match the intake forms. The memory wasn't of war at all. It was of a small room with gray walls and a single door. A room Sarah had seen before, in dozens of other patients' scans. Sarah worked for NeuroClean Industries, the premier memory modification clinic in New Chicago. Their slogan was, "Forget your past, design your future," and business was booming. Soldiers wanted their trauma erased. Addicts sought to delete their cravings. Parents paid to remove memories of children lost to accidents. The technology was precise, legal, and supposedly ethical. She pulled up another patient file. Mrs. Yamamoto, depression treatment. Deep in her neural mapping, there it was again. The gray room, the door. Sarah's hands trembled as she accessed more files, patient after patient, all containing fragments of the same impossible memory. A memory none of them should have had. A memory of a place that shouldn't exist. Sarah stayed late that night, diving deeper into the archives. The pattern was everywhere, hidden in the background noise of genuine memories. Always the same elements: gray walls, fluorescent lighting, and a door that never opened. The patients never mentioned it during intake interviews. It only appeared in the deep scans, buried beneath layers of authentic experience. The next morning, Sarah confronted her supervisor, Dr. Hendricks. He was a thin man with kind eyes who had recruited her straight from medical school. When she showed him the scans, his face went pale. "Sarah, you need to stop looking into this." "But the implications are staggering. If all these people share the same memory, it means either our equipment is contaminated or..." "Or what?" "Or the memory is real." Dr. Hendricks closed the files and turned away from the holographic display. "Some memories aren't meant to be edited, Sarah. Some memories edit themselves." That night, Sarah couldn't sleep. She returned to the clinic using her security credentials and began a comprehensive analysis of every patient they'd ever treated. The gray room memory wasn't just common, it was universal. Every single person who had undergone memory modification possessed fragments of it, but the strangest part was yet to come. Sarah discovered that the memory wasn't static. It was evolving, updating itself across all patients simultaneously. In scans from last year, the room contained only basic furniture. Recent scans showed new details: scratch marks on the walls, a flickering light fixture, symbols carved into the doorframe. If something inside the room was trying to communicate, Sarah decided to investigate the memory's source. Using the clinic's most advanced neural interface, she dove into the collective unconscious of their patient database, following the gray room memory to its origin point. What she found defied explanation. The memory wasn't generated by any individual mind, it was externally sourced, broadcasting. From coordinates that led to an address across the city, an address that, according to municipal records, didn't exist. Sarah drove through the rain-slicked streets of New Chicago until she reached the coordinates. The building that shouldn't exist stood before her, a gray concrete structure, unremarkable except for its perfect match to the shared memory. A sign by the entrance read, "NeuroClean Industries, Research Division." Inside, Sarah found dozens of rooms identical to the one in the memory scans. But these rooms weren't empty. They contained people. Hundreds of people, lying unconscious on examination tables, neural interface cables snaking into their skulls like electronic ivy. Dr. Hendricks emerged from the shadows, no longer the kindly supervisor she knew. "You weren't supposed to find this place, Sarah." "What is this? Who are these people?" "They're the source. Every memory we've ever deleted comes here. But memories don't disappear, Sarah. They have to go somewhere. These volunteers store them, live them, experience them, so our clients don't have to." Sarah stared at the sleeping figures, understanding flooding through her like ice water. You're not deleting memories, you're transferring them. The human mind requires perfect balance. Remove trauma without replacement, and the patient becomes a hollow shell. So we give their pain to others, people who volunteered to bear the burden of society's unwanted experiences. But the gray room memory is their only anchor to their original selves, a small mercy we allow them to keep, the last vestige of who they were before they became repositories for everyone else's suffering. Sarah looked at the nearest volunteer, a young woman whose face was peaceful despite the horrors she now carried. Multiple IV lines fed her nutrients while her brain processed a lifetime of stolen anguish. This is monstrous. This is necessary. Civilization couldn't function if everyone carried their full burden of memory. War would be impossible if soldiers remembered every death. Progress would halt if scientists retained every failure. We've created a perfect system, the many live unburdened while the few carry the weight of human experience. Sarah's hand moved to her neural interface port. The same modification every NeuroClean employee received for quality assurance purposes. She now understood its true function. How long have I been storing memories, Dr. Hendricks? His smile was sad and knowing. 3 years, Sarah. Since the day you started working here, your employment contract included a very specific clause about contributing to our research division. The room began to blur at the edges as Sarah's neural implant activated. She felt her memories of the gray room facility beginning to fade, replaced by the comfortable fiction of voluntary memory deletion. But as her consciousness slipped away, she caught a glimpse of herself lying on one of the examination tables, cables connecting her mind to the vast network of human memory storage. Sarah Chen had been editing memories for 3 years when she discovered the first inconsistency. It was a Tuesday morning in 2087, and she was reviewing the neural scan of patient 47B, a war veteran seeking to remove traumatic combat experiences. But deep in her own mind, hidden beneath layers of implanted routine, a small gray room flickered with warning lights. On its wall, fresh scratch marks spelled out a message she would never remember writing. The memories remember you. In the business of forgetting, someone must always remember. The gray door never opens because it was never meant to be an exit. It was always meant to be a window, a way for the stored memories to watch the world that had abandoned them, waiting for the day when the balance would tip and the forgotten would reclaim what was always theirs. The door remains gray because truth exists in the space between black and white, between remembering and forgetting, between the selves we are and the selves we choose to become. The end. You have been listening to The Gray Door. Thank you for listening.